Glory be to God. You can turn to Acts chapter 27, I believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enjoy the presence of the Lord tonight. Amen. Join the presence of the Lord. Altar's open. It's been open all week. Doesn't matter if I'm preaching or not. The altar's open. You're not going to hinder me at all. Amen. Me and Mike has at times felt like we're almost in the way. Sometimes when it comes to, it's almost hard to get the message in because God's been wanting to move in this meeting. And I believe it's been a good meeting. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes talking about those storms, just mention those names. Hugo, Andrew, Camille. I remember when I was young, Xenia, I believe it was 1974, if I'm not mistaken. Came home from school, 8159 Myers Road. I stood out at the door and couldn't see the neighbor's yard because of the rain coming down so hard. That was the day that the tornadoes hit up in Xenia. And those storms make an impact on our life. It's almost a key point that we think back to. This happened before or after that big storm came through. And the weather sometimes is that way. Tornado season's coming up. And I think about that every year. That's nature's most powerful force when it comes to weather is that tornado. And sometimes they're scary. Sometimes we don't like to see them come by. When the kids are little, they don't like the thunder and the lightning. That emergency broadcast system Mike was talking about earlier. I was down in Fort Myers, Florida, out delivering newspapers early in the morning, about 4 o'clock. And here come that over the radio, that emergency broadcast system. But this wasn't a test this time. Tropical Storm Keith was coming through, and I had papers to deliver. And I was out there thinking, should I go back to the house or what should be there on the radio telling you to find shelter? And man, I went to flipping them as quick as I could get them out of the car because the emergency warning had sounded, and that storm was coming by. And it was time to take a shelter somewhere. And sometimes we'll overlook that, but when I was down there then, and when it was real, I didn't overlook it because I knew there was a storm out there, and I knew there was something coming by that I needed to watch out for. Acts chapter 27. Let's start reading down verse 9. It says, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of Paul. And it came to, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest." Paul's trying to tell them they're fixing to take a journey, and he doesn't think they ought to do it. He knows that once they get out there, something's going to be happening. One of them storms are going to be coming by, and he does his best to persuade them, does his best to tell them that this isn't the time to go. And I'm not just talking about the ship being in peril. I'm talking about our lives are going to be in peril. Paul tells them, don't go. Let's don't go. But they're wanting to get out of there. There's not a very good place to winter in, they don't think. And they want to get to somewhere where they could maybe be there for the winter. So they strike out. And then here comes verse 13. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." That's just like the devil sometimes. I mean, we can almost be in a state where he will sneak in. And just with that soft wind, let us think everything's fine. Everything's all right. What did he tell Eve? He said, listen, you're not going to surely die. I mean, he's been pulling this same trick for centuries and centuries. And he knows how to do it. And he'll come by with that soft wind from time to time. And let you think that the horizon's clear. Let you think that everything's all right. Let you think that there's no worry. Let you think that there's nothing you should be taking heed for, because just feel that soft wind blowing. And that's what happened here. He said, listen. So that soft wind's blowing. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to fear for. So there they go. They loosed and they're sailing. Verse 14, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called," and I'm guessing at this, "Euroclydon, Listen, we name ours now. They named theirs back then, and this was a bad one. Remember Hugo and all them? Well, they had a name for this one, and it's coming through, and they're already out there now. They didn't heed Paul's warning. They didn't do what he said that they should have done. They didn't stay put. There was a bad one coming by, and there's not a thing they can do about it now, Brother Jim, because they're already out there. They're already in the midst of it. Even though it wasn't the wise thing to do, they're already out there, and the waves are beating, and that soft wind has all of a sudden become a strong one. And that little lie of a soft wind is all of a sudden beating upon them. A tempestuous wind, it called it. That one's the one coming by now. He's done it. He's tricked them. He's got them out there where he wants them, and now here comes that storm. And Paul is the one that's been trying to tell them all along. But this was a bad one. Listen, verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Now, okay, the wind's blowing, the storm has came on them. And they do what they can to control things, but they realize there ain't nothing they're going to be able to do. They're just going to be driven by this storm. So the next day they get up and that same storm's raging, that same storm's coming on them, so they decide to lighten the ship. And they're going to get some things out of the way that maybe would help them control the ship better. Now what they're doing when they do that is they're looking at different things and they're thinking, we'll keep this. This we'll need later. This we don't need. We'll pitch it to the side. They come across over here. We need this. Let's save this. Hang on to this. When this storm passes by, we're going to need that to handle the ship. So leave that right there. This over here, we can pitch that aside. And they're going through the whole boat trying to lighten the load, Brother Oscar, trying to get things out that they don't think they're going to need. Because in their mind, they're thinking to themselves, as soon as this storm is passed, I'm going right on just like I always have. I'm going right on just like I always have. All I need to do is get rid of some of these little things. All I need to do is pitch some of these small things out and just ride this out a little bit. And then when it's all said and done, it'll be right back to business as usual. And that's what they thought on that second day when that storm went to raging. That next day when they got up and it's still there, they start picking and choosing. No, we'll need that later. We'll need that for the ship. Hang on, save that. This you can pitch aside. And they had it in their mind that they were just going to go right back to business as usual when this storm went by. But read verse 19. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Listen, they had made that decision on the second day. They said, this we can save, because when we get done, Brother Shockley, we'll need that to steer the boat. We'll need that. And I don't know that much about tackling, but I mean, I think you need it when you've got a ship. And that's some important stuff when it comes to a sailor. And they thought to themselves, on the second day, this stuff is important to us. But then that third day came around, that storm was still raging. And they changed their tune all of a sudden, Mike. And they said, look, it doesn't even matter if the tackling's gone. It don't even matter if we don't have anything to run this ship with, just as long as we're still afloat when this storm's over, get rid of that too. And they start casting the tackling off the ship. They don't even want that. All they care about now is just breath in their body. All they care about now is having a ship afloat when this storm ever does pass. They've changed their tune now. It's not business as usual. They're not going to go right back to their everyday things that they've always done when this storm's passed. They're hoping to even survive it. They're hoping to even survive it. And then verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. That it was about as low as they could ever get. I mean, they're out. Listen, I have a fear. I would venture to say, if it ever did opportunity ever presented itself, I don't think I would ever take a cruise with my family, because I can swim. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem at all. But just the idea that I would be responsible for them should the ship ever go down. I mean, it's not like you're in a building and you got a fire and you can run outside. It's not like you're outside in the rain and you can run in under the building. That ship is the only haven you have. And that ship is the only thing keeping you alive. That ship is the only thing between you and disaster. And I just have a fear of worrying about my family if should I ever find myself in that situation. And that's where they were here. And they realized on that third day, this ship is all we've got. Get rid of everything we need to get rid of. Let's just keep it afloat. And then after many days, when they never seen moon, no stars, no sun, nothing but the wind blowing, nothing but the rain pelting them in the face, nothing but the rage of the storm, they said, that's it. We've lost all hope of even being saved. And they sunk to the bottom. I mean, their hope and their encouragement was gone. They didn't have anything to look forward to. They're not just going to be happy to float now. They don't even think they're going to survive, let alone steer the ship, let alone have any place to go, let alone complete the voyage that they started out. All hope of being saved was gone. Was gone. But let's read verse 22, I believe it is, 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and this loss." Sometimes we have a tendency to do that. And maybe even Paul, he was just reminding them. I've had a minister one time tell me, I felt like I had done something out of the will of the Lord and really shouldn't have went to this place, and was talking to him, and he said, "Mark, I'm not going to tell you so. I tell you I told you so," but then he spent the next 45 minutes telling me so, And Paul was kind of that way here. He said, "Listen," he said, he's wanting to remind them, "We're out here in the storm, things are looking bad, and I just want you to remember, I told you so. Do you remember when your feet was on solid ground? Do you remember when that soft wind was blowing and I was telling you, stay right where you're at? I just want you to know that. I told you so." And he just slid that in there. "I told you so." But then he tells them in verse 22, "And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Why can he have that kind of confidence? You read that and you think, man, Paul, he's in the same boat they're in. Everything's off. The tackling's gone. Every provision that they could have spared is off into the water. He's in the same boat they're in. But yet he stands there and he says, "Listen, be of good cheer. I'm exhorting you. We're not going to lose a life in this." Why can he have that? I'll tell you why he can. Verse 23. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not." Hear me, saying, "Fear not." Saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Can I tell you why he had that confidence in verse 22? Because in the middle of the night, he realized there was an extra passenger on board that ship. You could have pulled out the passenger list if you wanted to. His name wouldn't have showed up there. You could have pulled out any manifest you wanted to find, and his name wouldn't have showed up there. He never had to get a visa, Brother Collins. He never had to go through any immunization shots. He never had to buy a ticket. He never had to pack a suitcase. He never had to worry about going through customs. But I want to tell you, there was another passenger on that ship. There was someone else in the midst of that storm that Paul got a hold of. And Paul realized, someone's here to take care of us. Someone's here to handle this. We can't do it. We can't do it. Can you say amen? We cannot do it. But can I tell you, there's someone else on the boat. There's someone else riding this voyage with us. There's someone else right alongside. Right alongside. It don't matter how dark the storm may be. It don't matter how rainy it may be. How the wind may be blowing. There's another passenger on. There is another passenger on that boat. There is someone else standing there. And when you get a hold of him, you can stand up with that rain hitting you in the face. And you can say, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." Listen, that's the kind of comfort we need. That's the kind of help we need when those storms come. That's why Paul could stand up. That's why he could stand up and say, "Listen, it doesn't matter what happens. We're going to lose the ship." He told him right away, "This ship's going down, but we're not going to lose a life because someone stood by me last night. And there's someone else on this boat. There's someone else on this boat." I don't want to be very long tonight. Listen, you know the rest of the story. It happened just like Paul said. I mean, they went out and did their best and found a place to ram the ship into, and the front part was up on the ground and the back part was just completely destroyed by the storm, and they were grabbing anything they could get a hold of to float to the island. It happened exactly the way he said. They never lost a life, but the ship was gone, and we know the rest of that story. But I just want to tell you tonight, and I came this way through the little bit of snow that we had just to tell you that there's someone else on the boat with you tonight. And I don't care what the storm may be. I don't care how hard it may seem to you. I don't care how horrible it may seem. There is someone else on the boat tonight. Someone else on the boat tonight. Listen, I can think in my mind you may be in three different places, maybe more. But have you ever driven the car going down, especially an interstate, because they've got them, they got them mostly flattened out. And you can look ahead, and it almost looks like the clouds go completely to the ground. And for a long time, I didn't understand what that was. As I was growing up, I would see that, and I think, what is that? But that, you're seeing, you can actually see the sheets of rain coming down, and you can see them falling out of the clouds ahead of you. And you realize there might be sun over your head right now. But you realize right up ahead, and this is one place you might be tonight. You realize right up ahead, if you keep on your path, there's going to be a storm coming. And you're going to have to use your windshield wipers. You're going to have to change your tune because you're fixing to go into the storm. You may be there tonight. I don't know. You may be right in the midst of it tonight. You may be there. I mean, you may be listening to the shutters banging on the windows. You might be listening to the rain pelting the glass. You might be listening to the thunder and the lightning that scares the kids so much. You may be right in the midst of a storm tonight. I don't know. Or you may be someone that's here tonight that has been under a storm for so long and seems like days after days and weeks have piled up onto weeks. And you don't know if it's ever going to happen. And you may be looking now and thinking you just might see the sun peeking out a little bit from some of them dark clouds. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what God has done in your life. But I'm just here to tell you that storm's going to pass. Whether it's the one ahead of you, whether it's the one that you're in now, or whether it's the one that you're fixing to come out of, it will pass, Brother Tim. And God is going to bring you through it. God is going to pick you up. He's going to carry you every step of the way if He needs to. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, He's going to bring us through the storm. He's going to bring us through the storm. He's going to bring us through the storm. Amen. He's going to bring us through the storm. I don't know what it is. I don't know how hard it may be to you tonight, but He will bring you through it no matter what you say, because someone else is on board. Someone else is on board. Someone else is on board. Listen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. You know, when they told Paul, or when Paul stood up and told them, listen, be of good cheer, they had a lot of days left in that storm. I think, if I'm not mistaken, 16 or 14 or so, or somewhere down says through there. That wasn't the end of it, Brother Dave. I mean, he had that confidence. He stood up and he said, yeah, we're in the middle of a storm, be of good cheer. But that storm never ended. I mean, they still had to ride that thing out. They still had days and days on end where they had to do their very best to survive and end up with the loss of the ship. So I'm not saying that it's going to stop right now. I was sitting at a parking lot on our way to church and seeing the snow coming down. And I said a little prayer, Brother Collins. I said, Lord, I just want it to stop right now. And I thought, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go in the store and I'll come back out and see if it's quit. And I come back out and they were a little bit smaller, so I was a little bit encouraged about that. But I thought, Lord, that's a hard prayer to make, because, you know, that snow's falling for a long way. And I thought, well, you could do anything, God. You could make it go if I had the faith. And I just said that. But I don't know. I'm telling you tonight, the storm might not end right now. You might not turn around and walk right out into the sunshine. I don't know how long it may be. I don't know how hard it may be. I'm just simply here to tell you there's someone else with you. There's someone else there. And this one will pass too. It don't matter how difficult it may seem. It's going to end. And you're going to come into the sunshine again. You're going to come into the sunshine again. Amen. Sister Tria, whoever else wants to sing, come to the back to the piano real quick. I remember a storm. I believe it was Camille, if I'm not mistaken. Hurricane Camille. It was one of the storms that are famous now. And there was a beachfront resort there, and there were some people staying there, and they were trying to evacuate. And they were doing their best to clear everybody out. And this was a multi-storied building. From the looks of it, as I remember the pictures, probably about 10 or 12 stories tall. And I can remember as they interviewed this policeman that had been sent out to clear everything out, Brother Oscar, and get everybody evacuated. And they were having a hurricane party on the top floor of that building, and one of the rooms that were up there. And he went and knocked on the door, and he asked him, he said, listen, there's a hurricane coming. You've probably heard the weather reports. They said, sure we have. We're having a party now. We're having a hurricane party. We're going to stay right here. He said, I know that you may have done that in the past, but he said, listen, this one is a little bit bigger. This one is a little bit bigger than those past storms have been. And what we really need you to do is to evacuate on out of here and to clear on out. They said, no, we're not going to do it. Boy, they just had that confidence. They said, no, we're fine where we're at. We're just fine where we're at. And he said, well, and before he left them, he told him, he said, well, if you won't do that, will you just do me this and give me a next of kin? That's what he asked him, Brother Shane. He said, okay, you're not going to leave. You want to have the party. That's fine. Give me a next of kin. And he got a next of kin from every one of them. The picture I seen after that hurricane, I believe it was Camille, the picture I seen of that building when it went after the storm went through, those 10, 12 stories that were there were completely gone. There was nothing but rubble around what would have been the foundation of that building. They never found one person. They never found one person. Listen, it's one thing to be big and brave. And our kids, my kids are here, and they like dads that are big and brave. I mean, they like dads that aren't scared of them storms. They like dads that can stand up and tell them the lightning ain't going to hurt them. They like dads that can stand up and tell them the thunder ain't going to hurt them. They like dads that can tell them, yeah, it may be a tornado, but I'm here with you, and don't worry about it now. And it's one thing to be brave in some of those areas, but it's another thing to be foolish. And can I tell you tonight, I would never want to enter into any storm, no matter how small it may seem, without him on my side. I would never want to step foot through any storm, no matter how small it may seem, and no matter how brave I feel, without the Lord on my side. That's not the way to weather a storm. That's not the way to go through the trials we have. That's not the way to head this stuff on, head on, and live for God without God living on with us and on our side. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, because I can tell you, just like the policeman said, just give me an extra key. You won't make it. Stand with me tonight. You won't make it. You won't make it. Listen, some of those storms, talk to the people in Xenia. They can point to the buildings that were completely destroyed. They can point to and many of them know people that lost their lives in that storm. Still to this day, they can remember vivid details about those storms. I don't know how it may be with you tonight, but I don't know what the storm may seem like, but I would not want to go through it without him. Can you say amen? I would not. It's pretty much a given. I mean, it's pretty much an expected thing that we're going to have some storms. And so we might as well just get used to that. We live where the tornadoes come by kind of frequent. We've gotten used to the weather being the way it is. Spiritually, can we just get used to some things coming against us? He said they would. He said they would. They're going to persecute you for his sake, because you're living for him. Those storms are going to come. Those persecutions are going to come. But let's do it and go through them with him on our side. Amen. Let's go through them with him on our side. No matter what it may seem like to you, make sure he's on your side. Paul made it through. Why Paul made it through? Because he was standing shoulder to shoulder with that angel. And he was the one that knew, be of good cheer, be of good comfort. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. I just want us to find us a place to pray as they sing. No matter what the storm may be, I want you to know tonight, someone's on board with you, and it's going to pass. It's going to pass. Amen. Come and find a place to pray. Everyone, make an altar. If you're going through that storm and he's not on your side, now's the time to get him on your side. As Brother Colin said, when the iron's hot, let's strike now. Let's make sure if he's not on board our boat, that we get him on board our boat. Let's make sure that we add him to the passenger list, because I don't want to go through it without him. Amen. I don't want to go through it without him. Glory be to God. Everybody pray. Hallelujah.